Good evening. This is Bob Lederer, Chair of the PNB Elections Committee. It's July 17, 2012, and I'm convening this meeting of the committee. Jane Gatewood, our secretary, would you please call the roll?
Okay, from KPFK, Ken Aaron, Fred Blair, Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Michael Novick.
Present.
From KPFA, Anthony Fest.
Here.
Sasha Futron.
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg. Andrea Turner. From KPFT, Teresa Allen. Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Nancy Saibara-Naratomi. From WBAI, Nia Bediako.
Present.
Carolyn Burden.
Here.
Bob Lederer.
Here.
Manashe Saba. From WPFW, Ivan Alsame. Revlin Gold.
Present.
Jane Gatewood is present.
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 members present, and also present are Bill and Terry. Anybody else on the call?
Okay.
Who's Carrie?
For those listening, that's Bill.
Carrie Borishis.
Oh, Carrie
Borishis.
Okay.
Bill Crozier, director from KPFT, and Terry Borishis, the National Election Supervisor. Okay,
thanks,
Jane, and thanks, everyone, for being on the call. And I put the most recent version of the agenda, of the draft agenda, out on the list at 8:12 tonight. If those of you who have email access, you can look at it, and those who don't, I'll read it now. And thanks to Jane for making some useful suggestions on how to arrange it. Okay, so now will be number two after the roll call is agenda approval, then review and approval of the minutes from the June 29th meeting, suggesting 10 minutes. Next announcement of next committee meeting date, or that should say decision on the next committee meeting date. I'm proposing Tuesday, August 7th. That will be 5 minutes. Next, report from National Election Supervisor on status of election preparations would be 20 minutes. Next, review of PNB's local elections board local station board election policy adopted in 2009, including a variety of provisions. That would be 40 minutes because there's so many separate provisions to go through, both about the nomination period and the campaign period. Next, for 30 minutes, would be a complete discussion of the remaining cost-cutting and fundraising proposals, which were unanimously agreed by the work group. We've disposed of several, but there's still five, I think, very quick and easy ones left. 10 minutes about candidate recruitment, 5 minutes on encouraging cost-cutting suggestions by LES and NES, 5 minutes on encouraging other people to make cost-cutting suggestions, 5 minutes on a fundraising appeal, and 5 minutes on a donation cup on the website. And then next would be the NES's requested issue for input, all of which I would just note if people are concerned about whether we'll finish everything tonight, that none of these are immediate. I'm not saying they could be put off indefinitely, but they all relate to the balloting and then later the tabulation, which there's still a little bit of time before those have to be decided. So I'm suggesting 10 minutes on business reply envelope, 10 minutes on inner secrecy envelope, 15 minutes on the location of ballot tabulation, and then the final item would be proposal by Ken Aaron to add a paragraph in the election materials about mediation to prevent lawsuits. That would be 20 minutes. Are there any comments or amendments?
Yes, please. Hi, Bob. This is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. Go ahead.
First of all, I'm here for the record. Second thing is I'd like to suggest that the committee finish the cost-cutting recommendations they were in the middle of a little bit earlier on the agenda. The 2009 elections policy, as we've mentioned, was already passed by the PNB. So accordingly, in order to replace it, change it, modify it, it's going to have to get rescinded, which may or may not happen, but accordingly, it's not going to happen instantaneously. So my sense of it is that the cost-cutting work that this committee is doing is a little more time-sensitive because those are things we can bring to the PNB right away. So I'm making a suggestion that we hop-skip the completion of the full cost-cutting proposal higher up on the agenda and then take up the 2009 stuff afterwards.
Okay. Does anyone... I would like to address it, but I'll open the floor if anyone else wants to make a comment first.
Yeah, I can open up the agenda and, like, make a more formal proposal. Let me just look at the items.
Okay, well, while you're doing that, who else would like to speak on this?
This is Lydia.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so, number one, we're not going to be rescinding the policy. We're just going to amend. Number two, we don't have anything in our bylaws about how many days it takes to notice something. Certainly, Robert does say there should be notice. What that is has never been determined by Pacifica. And Roberts gives an example. You know, the best thing, obviously, is always to notice it from one meeting to the other, but it's not a requirement. It's not spelled out that I've ever found, and we've all looked for a period of time. And thirdly, we're just advisory. Choose to say, no, there wasn't enough notice, or yes, there is, and this is time sensitive for some of the reasons that Terry laid out. And that's all I have to say on that issue. And I think that it is something that is a priority, but that's all I wanted to say, was that it's
okay.
Up to the PNB as to when it wants chooses to take it up.
So the suggestion is to move item 6A.1 and 2 in the agenda back to the back, I guess, below item 7 to become item 8.
Okay.
That's the formal agenda modification.
All right. So does anyone else want to speak? If not, I will. Okay. Well, yeah, I think Lydia is correct about, in terms of Robert's rules, there's something very similar to a motion to rescind called a motion to amend something previously adopted, and it has similar procedures. And that could, the PNB could absolutely decide this weekend, if they wanted to do that, as long as they follow those procedures. So it's not at all unrealistic that this could happen, but the time sensitivity is that this policy requires, starting with the opening of nominations, which I'll remind everyone is August 1st, that there be this whole series of things that we're going to get into, 12 daily carts, a 15-minute per tutorial per one-hour show, et cetera, et cetera. So if we're going to be able to have any chance of impacting it, if we want to impact it, I would say we would absolutely have to pass something tonight or not pass it, but tonight is the night. So I would say to ensure that, since we sometimes do extend items, to ensure that we get to it, I would leave it where it is. Anyone else on Tracy's amendment? Okay, hearing none, then let's bring that to a vote.
Could I go ahead and just make a Roberts Rules of Order comment or point of information?
Go ahead.
According to Robert's Rules of Order, as far as I can see, a vote, once legislation has actually been enacted, as it were, which is what they say, it does say that the motion you're referencing is out of order, that if, in fact, a motion to rescind is in order, then a motion to amend something previously adopted is not. So I think it's likely that that process would not work.
Well,
in other words, if it's eligible for a motion to rescind, then it is, in fact, out of order to amend as previously.
Okay.
Well, which is what I thought.
I have
so
a degree
what
of
I'm,
it because it refers to some that are partially implemented. So this was implemented in two previous elections, but it is not.
The point is, Bob, that it's extremely debatable that the motion would be subject to any amendment before it is rescinded. if it is rescinded and it hasn't been noticed for it to be rescinded. So people should keep that in mind when they're figuring out the best use of their time tonight. That's
okay,
all.
And my point was that even if it has to be rescinded, which I don't agree with, but even if it did, it's the identical procedure anyway. And so the board could choose this weekend to do that. So, all right. We've had a lot of discussion. Why don't we call the roll, Jane, on...
Okay, so the proposal is to move consideration of cost-cutting proposals up prior to consideration of amendments to 2009, amendments or rescission to 2009 policies. Ken Aaron? Okay, so I'll go ahead and call everybody in case anybody else has arrived since my last called roll call. Ken Aaron? Fred Blair? Lydia Bajant? Oh, hi, Fred. How are you? Okay, so we're calling the... What?
You asked for my vote. This is Lydia. I'm voting no.
No, thank you. Fred?
I thought you were taking the roll.
No, I took roll already. It's just that we were calling a vote on a question. We're approving the agenda, and Tracy has asked that we move consideration of cost-cutting proposals up prior to consideration of amendments or rescission replacement
okay.
of 2009 policies. So this is a vote. Do you want to vote on it?
Yeah, I'm voting yes.
Okay. Michael Novick?
No.
Mia Bediako?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Bob, would you like to vote?
I'll vote no.
Is Manashe here? Anthony Fest?
Yes.
Sasha Futran?
No.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Oh,
she's
yes.
got mute on.
I fixed it. I vote yes.
Andrea Turner, are you here? Ivan Alsame, are you here? Reverend Gold?
No.
Jane Gatewood votes yes. Teresa Allen, are you here? Wesley Bethune?
No.
Nancy Saibara Notomi?
Nancy votes no.
Okay, so we have yes votes, 5 yes votes, 8 no votes. The motion failed.
Okay, thank you, Jane. All right, are there any other amendments to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda? Okay, hearing none, it's adopted. And I neglected to ask for a timekeeper. Would someone please volunteer for that role? It's not too... difficult, but I can't do it and share.
Oh, I was on mute, Bob. I kept saying that I would do it because I do need to be off, so I will keep time. As long as we don't waste it.
Very good. Thank you very much. All right, and I will announce the time for each item, and if I forget, Mia, please remind me. Okay. So
I sure will.
All right. Next item for 10 minutes is review and approval of the minutes of the June 29th meeting. Michael Novick was kind enough to step in for Jane, who couldn't be at that meeting, and take the notes, which he put on the listserv, I believe it was when, Michael, maybe a week and a half ago. But you did have one gap, one thing you weren't certain of. So it might be easier, rather than composing that gap on the phone tonight, to postpone. Would there be any objection to postponing until somebody can fill in that gap, and so we have a complete set.
This is Jane. Just, can I ask for some clarification just to try to make a little progress? Even if we don't approve them, we'll have a couple gaps filled in.
Michael?
Well, Jane actually posted a few minutes ago another version. I was just looking at that.
I haven't seen that.
I was just trying to understand what happened, and it was a little hard for me to follow. So I I just tried to separate it out in terms of what the various conversations were. But the first question was, there was somebody else present. It was somebody from Pacifica Affiliate Station. Do you know who can anybody tell us who that was? Heather?
Yes, that rings a bell. Yeah, Heather Gray.
Thank you. All right. So I do think that you're, this is Jane. I'm sorry, Bob. Can I continue? Yeah, I think it would be helpful if people could look over either the original draft or what I sent out tonight, because I had a hard time following the conversation, so I separated into what I thought people were talking about. And if I misunderstood it, then at least the way I arranged it will make it easier for people to see where I was mistaken.
Okay, well, thanks for doing that, Jane. So then is there any objection to postponing this item to the next meeting? Okay, hearing none, it's postponed. Next item is for 5 minutes. Decision on next committee meeting date. Now I'm proposing, because we have so much work on our plate, and I seriously doubt we're going to get through everything tonight, that we set Tuesday, August 7th. Date I checked kpfax.org, and it is free. And again, to remind everyone, the nominations run from August 1st to August 30th. So, you know, things are starting to accelerate with our timetable. So, any discussion on that proposal? On that motion?
Could you say what the proposal is again?
That the committee next meet on Tuesday, August 7th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That's, I guess, 3 weeks from now. Okay, is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, then that's our next.
Shouting
going on, or dog barking or something?
Yeah, the person who has the dog, if they would kindly mute their phone, that would be helpful. Or whatever other background noise there might be. I'm sorry, was that Revelin with the question?
Yeah. That is, okay, so that is after the nomination process begins.
Correct.
And is that safe? I mean, I know it's right on us. If there are issues that come up with that process, is there any way that we can kind of hold an available date that's a little closer to the first, just in case we need it?
Well, the calendar is pretty chock full.
Okay.
We're really not supposed to conflict with other committees, or with certainly not with the board.
Right.
So, I mean, it's up to
the committee. There's nothing on Tuesday, August 31st, just FYI.
Okay.
August 31st? You mean?
July, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
There's currently nothing on Tuesday, July 31st.
Okay. I mean, for me individually, that would be difficult, but obviously, you know, it's up to the committee. My approach to tonight's meeting is that everyone should be thinking really hard, and I'm sure Terry will enlighten us, about anything we need to absolutely settle before nominations open, and let's just deal with that tonight and get it over with, and then, you know, it won't be quite so pressing to meet before nominations.
Well, okay. I mean, it's whatever the committee wants, but that is separating theory and practice a little further out. I mean, we can sit up and theorize, but it's not until it actually begins that some problems, unforeseen, could arise, and I'm just trying to think ahead if we could put that date a little closer to the beginning, or say that if there is a need, you know, we can at least do some cursory meeting where we can resolve some issues.
This is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
In view of the fact that anything we pass anyway would probably need to be passed by the PMB, anything that doesn't need to be passed by the PMB would be just a suggestion that Terry can take or leave, but if it's something that belongs to the board, we can't make any decision, so August 31st would be too late for that anyway. July 31st would be too late for that anyway. And the PMB if there is something that the PMB needs to address in an emergency fashion, it is charged with being able to call for an emergency meeting. And I would just leave it up to whatever, you know, something drastic, which I can't foresee, and no one can always invoke that and call an emergency PMB meeting. But in terms of this committee, I think it's tonight, and then I think August, with things that don't necessarily affect that August 1st date. So I support the initial, was it August 7th, Bob?
Right.
Yes. I would support this meeting August 7th.
Okay. Anyone else on this?
Nia dittoing what Lydia says.
Okay.
That's very logical.
Well, so, Revlon, is that a formal proposal, or were you just putting that out for discussion?
No. I don't know. It wasn't for a vote. It was just for consideration.
No, that's an important thought to put on the table. Thank you for that. But if there's no one else who wants to address it, I think we're probably about at time.
Okay.
All right.
Time is up, Bob. Time's up.
Thank you. All right. So next is the report from the National Election Supervisor on election preparation and really anything he wants to bring to our attention. That's 20 minutes, Mia. Go ahead, Terry.
Okay, I'll make it very short because I don't think anything I have to tell you, I can do an email. Okay, the hiring status, I've hired local election supervisors at KPFA, KPFK, KPFT. I think they'll have some decision on WPFW to announce tomorrow. WBAI, probably I'll have something to announce there tomorrow as well. So hopefully we'll be in place. Things I've been working on, revising a manual for each election supervisors on all the steps they need to do. It's pretty extensive, 40 pages of detailed step-by-step procedures for auditing, lists, et cetera, et cetera. One of the conflicts I'm trying to figure out is the fair campaign provisions. The bylaws only speak to airtime, not to other station resources and websites. And in 2003, when I was election supervisor, I extended the principles to the website and so on, and I'm not clear whether I actually had the bylaws authority to do that. And it's been done every year since I did it in 2003, and no one's ever questioned whether it's legitimate. But I'm trying to get some clarification from lawyers at Pacifica office about exactly what we can put in the provisions. Basically, what I think it's going to be is there will be some provisions that are the bylaws, which can control candidate behavior. But the ones controlling staff behavior are basically going to be a policy of the foundation. The executive director will say, this is the policy, this is what staff must do, and pass it through to the general managers, to the staff. But it's not going to be bylaws driven. So I'm expecting the fair campaign provisions will be essentially the same as they were last time, but there will be a different legal basis for them. I have a draft public service announcements for candidate recruitment. A couple people on this list have looked at them. I could share them more widely. They're not like great art, but they're to the point. Once I get that finalized as a draft, I'm going to circulate that to the local election supervisors. The Election Services Corporation contract has not yet been signed. We're still waiting. They're still waiting for Pacifica to decide exactly what we want. You know, hybrid election with internet voting, the ballot envelopes, those sorts of things have to be settled before we actually have a contract. I asked Frank Fatone, who's the key person there, on three separate emails for a quote on using newsprint, and the last email response, which was last Friday, was that he expected to have that any moment, and I still haven't heard from him with an actual quote, so I don't know how much savings there might be there. It's possible it won't be large because Election Services Corporation has their own print shop. It's a consortium of businesses. It's a mail house, print shop, et cetera, et cetera. So they might have to go outside to do the newsprint. So I'm not sure how big the savings would be. Anyway, that's where that is. Candidate packet, I'm trying to revise that from previous elections. Hopefully I'll have that done within a few days. Questionnaire, people have given comments. I think keeping the questionnaire short is generally met with approval. I think the consensus that I'm picking up is it makes sense to have a fourth question, which is something about finances. I just think that all the questions need to be phrased in sort of an open-ended way that don't assert or assume, like, given the financial crisis of the foundation, what should we do? It's sort of like, what do you think we should do about finances? So it's going to be a little bit more open-ended and not asserting a reality. I guess that's it for my report. I'll keep that short and just see if there's any urgent questions. Otherwise, I think you need to get to your questions.
Okay,
Nancy.
Barry. Okay.
And Carolyn on the stack, please.
Okay, Nancy, Carolyn, and then myself.
Will we be able to? Will we be able to see this 40-page pamphlet that the rules for the LESs?
Yeah, it can be a public document. It's a manual of the things that they have to accomplish. I don't think there's anything in there that would be released that sensitive. I mean, it talks about the procedure they have to do for auditing, and right now it's in draft form because it says how many carts they have to air of a certain type, and that's obviously up in the air. So there will be things in it which will change. It's one step above being a draft, but it's not final. But yeah, I can. It's a Word document. I can probably give it to somebody who can post it on the PACELEC Yahoo files or something like that.
I see. And you don't think it needs to be on the national website?
No, this is a manual for, it's not rules for the election. Set up an office space, make sure you have voicemail you can access remotely, these kinds of details of what the local election supervisor needs to do their job. It's almost nothing in it is relevant to candidates or staff.
Okay, well, just, we had trouble at KPFT for the LES, the former LES, to actually do what she's supposed to do by the bylaws, and so management did not just tip their hands off of it. It's her business. It's election supervisor's business to take care of programmers who are, you know, endorsing or not endorsing or disparaging candidates on the air, and just the management did nothing, so nothing got done. So I just thought, if we have some way to fire him on the spot or give him some sort of pressure, if we had something. Okay, back to you.
Okay, Carolyn.
Yeah, thank you, Terry. First of all, let me tell you how impressed I am with what you've accomplished. Thank you. I feel much better about the elections this year than in any previous year. Thank you for that. I'm asking about the questionnaire. What we found first year, we sent out a questionnaire at WBAI, and what we found was the answers are still sitting in a carton, untabulated, because by leaving open-ended questions, you have created an enormous problem for anyone who wants to get some consensus or sense of the responses. So I know it's a little bit more work, but it might be much more satisfactory because you'd be able to tabulate the responses to give people a choice on a scale of 1 to 5, let's say, agree, disagree, or strongly agree, you know, weakly agree, whatever. Or else you can ask yes, no, maybe.
Just to be clear, I'm talking about the questionnaire to candidates that will go on the website.
Oh, that's
questionnaire to members.
Different questionnaire.
Got two questionnaires.
Okay, yeah, sorry about that. Okay, that's good. So that they are going to be open-ended, and they're going to be printed on the website then. Okay, I was doing my...
Okay, Wesley?
Can you tell us who the LES is that you've hired? Can you give us their names?
I want to take the time on the phone for this. My computer, I have in a lightning storm. My computer just, I hope it didn't get fried, but it just went crazy. But from memory, Aaron Morris, he's at KPFA. EO Irabor is at KPFT. Can you still hear me? Sol Watson at KPFK. I think there's a selection made for WBA and WPFW, but those aren't official yet.
Thank you.
Okay.
Terry, this is Lydia.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the KPFK? I didn't hear.
Which one?
KPFK.
His name is Sol Watson. He's from Free Speech Radio. He lives in L.A., but he's basically been working with the Colorado Free Speech.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm missing every here and there a word. Is it because of a telephone running out of juice or?
Not mine, but I'm in the middle of a lightning storm. It's pretty scary, actually.
Actually, I can hear Terry just fine.
Oh, I
can. Anyone else having a problem hearing Terry?
No, I can hear Mike fine.
Fine.
Oh, okay. Right. No, perhaps it's your phone, Nancy.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Let me call on myself a couple of questions. Yes, thank you very much for all this really thorough work. Fair Campaign provisions, past NESs have circulated those for comment to the Elections Committee. Is that something you can do for us before they're final?
I can certainly circulate them for comment. There's not a lot of time for comment because I have to have them, you know, on the website and in the candidates' packets in, you know, a week, pretty much.
Right.
I can comment
and not approval.
Right. If people sort of look at the fair campaign provisions from the past, that's what I'm using from 2010. That's what I'm using as my starting document. I'm just assuming those are all over the place, various documents. It's appendix number 1-4 of 2010 final report. That's on the. Actually, I'm not sure if it is on the Yahoo documents. I don't think it is unless someone posted it recently. But I can post it to the PACLEC.
That would be really helpful. And
Bob, this is Jane for the stack.
Oh, sure. Just a couple more questions. So, I believe the candidate packet materials have also been circulated because some interesting points were raised by some members. I forget if it was 2010 or 9, but again, there's always, you know, collective experience on the committee that you might fill with it.
Yeah, well, why don't I just post the there's a packet from, I don't know, well, which election I'll use, 2010, 2009, 2004, some election, I'll simply post the packet with the fair campaign provisions or part of the packet. If anybody wants to give comments, they can.
Great. And then the last thing is, what did you think of my suggestion of a 150-word limit per... I'm sorry, back to the questionnaire. 150-word limit for each answer so that there's not kind of a gross disproportionality between candidates and also that the listeners who may not have time to read voluminous answers, just like there is a time, a word limit on the overall statement.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate to have a limit, and I don't know what that should be. I'm open to any input. 150 sounds reasonable to me. I would like it to be even shorter, but... I don't want long, multi-page responses.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you. Oh, by the way, a housekeeping note. Just I heard an announcement, I think, 2 days ago on WBAI. Look, you're still looking for an LES, so you might want to mention that to the general manager, too.
It has been mentioned several times.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay, so next was Jane.
Yeah, Sherry, I didn't quite follow the very first thing that you mentioned about this. It sounded like you were saying some of the fair campaign provisions that could be on the bylaws that would basically fall into some kind of foundation policy. What were you talking about?
The fair campaign provisions, as they've been used, they're let's say a page and a half long. Since 2003. The actual fair campaign provisions in the bylaws are fraction of that. They only speak to airtime, not use of the website, station facilities, resources, things like that. Starting in 2003, I and every subsequent national election supervisor has interpreted the fair campaign provisions more broadly to include things like fair use of websites and so on. But there's no actual authority in the bylaws to do that. But there is certainly authority to regulate staff behavior by management and the foundation. So, in other words, I don't believe I can enforce provisions against candidates that violate rules for staff. I can only enforce rules against candidates that are specified in the bylaws, because listener members are not bound by personnel policies of the foundation. So basically I'm trying to clarify, basically I don't think it's been done right since I made the mistake in 2003 and everybody else has repeated it. I'm trying to clean that up a little bit.
Thank you.
Nancy, I'm stuck.
Go ahead, Nancy. Hold on. Is there anyone who has spoken that would like to ask a question? Okay, then go ahead, Nancy.
What you just said, you said that you're responsible for what candidates say.
No, it's not exactly. I'm responsible for what both staff and candidates do in terms of
okay,
fair campaign provisions.
Okay, staff.
It's just that there are things that deal with on-air stuff. That's where the bylaws give me authority to penalize, etc. When it comes to
yes.
things like websites, that's something the station, the general manager, and the executive director, etc., are going to have to enforce things having to do with fair practice in terms of use of station resources that are not airtime, because the bylaws only speak to airtime.
No. Wait a minute. The bylaws say that the LES has full authority to put some programmer on probation if they disparage a candidate. That's clear, right?
That's in the fair campaign provisions that have been adopted. That's not in the bylaws.
Oh, really? Well,
that's a good policy, and I think we can do things like that around what staff do, but I think there's limits on what we can do in terms of enforcement about what members may do, listener members, who are not governed by personnel policies.
Well, they don't get on air.
But anyway, this is just my report. I'm just telling you, this is what I'm working on. I'm trying to get Pacifica lawyers to help me clarify it. That's all.
Carolyn, I'm Seth. You in, please?
Okay. Again, anyone else who hasn't spoken yet? Okay, go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, a question again. I remember last time, Terry, you did a very thorough search for websites using station logos and informing the owners or the moderators of which of those are appropriate and which were not. Is that in your purview?
That is the kind of thing which I did in 2003, in which every national election supervisor has put in the fair campaign provision since. That
mm-hmm.
I don't think I have the authority to do. I think it can be done, and the authority lies with the station, the foundation, and the general managers, not in the bylaws.
Have you proposed a statement or a motion to the ED or to someone in the PMC?
Yes, I've had a series of emails with the executive director and with the lawyers
mm-hmm.
about how to clarify this. We haven't come to a resolution yet.
You don't know yet whether it's a PNB or not?
I believe the executive director, who is in charge of people, can issue a rule, and general managers know that, you know, she's their boss, and I don't think there needs to be anything going to the national board about this level of detail.
Well, it's not such a detail, because we have individual member websites using station logos. So who has the authority to either question those or take them down?
There's the point is, I don't think, if it's somebody who is a member, listener, who is not an employee or a staff person of a radio station, I don't think any human being can regulate what they do on a website. I think we can regulate what staff do through the policies. I think that the fair campaign provisions do not speak to websites. It uses the word on air and airtime about 7 times, and it never speaks to resources or websites or anything. That was just a rule that I pretty much invented, and because it seemed like a good rule. But I feel like I made a legal error in making that rule.
No, that's fair. Owned by a member would not be open to a staff member to post on illegally with campaign.
I think that we can establish a rule, a policy, rather, and I think that it will be difficult to remove a candidate from the ballot based on a violation of something that was not a rule that was in the bylaws.
Okay.
Ouch. Okay, thank you.
Ken to the stack?
Yes, Ken, go ahead.
Terry, you're talking about a person posting something on the Internet under his own volition. You're not referring to things posted under candidate statements on the Pacifica website. Pacifica website is monitored by the owner of the website, Pacifica Foundation.
In which case there can be an employee policy that Arlene can promulgate about what may and may not be done by on station websites and with station resources. Yes.
Right. But I'm saying Pacifica has the right to monitor what is posted on Pacifica websites, whether it's posted by a Pacifica employee.
Sure.
Or a candidate to
sure.
the listeners. In other words, he's not entitled to complete freedom of speech. It's our venue. So we can prohibit him from using profanity or making...
the foundation or the radio station can have its own policies for what it will put on its websites, of course.
Oh, you don't feel it's the... NAS's responsibility?
I don't think I have any... the bylaws don't give me any authority to deal with anything airtime.
At the time the bylaws were written, there was no internet presence.
Well, that's a slight overstatement, but it was not big like it is now. That's true.
So I'm just saying, you know, to the point is the distribution of information to the public on mass media.
I'm going to suggest that in the interest of time, I think we probably must be getting close to my 20 minutes anyway. I just wanted to inform you that the issue is there and that I'm dealing with the lawyers and Arlene to try and resolve it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Terry. I think you've really thoroughly explored this issue for us. So if there's nothing else that anyone has, can we move on? Is there any objection to moving on?
Revelyn for the stack.
Okay, Revelyn, go ahead.
At our local LSP meeting, one of our very vocal members was saying, you mean this election is going to start with the nominations in August and we don't have any written information? I didn't quite know how to answer that. So... I guess when there just seems to need to be some sort of step where people can say, okay, you know, let's go, let's do it.
Right. You know, ideally, the National Election Supervisor would have been appointed at least a month prior to when I was appointed. I mean, this is the whole process is being telescoped here in terms of the run-up. I mean, local election supervisors aren't even in place at every station, and the nomination is open in a couple of weeks.
Right.
So we're behind, way behind.
Do you have a suggestion, though, if a person says, I hear you're having elections soon, what are we supposed to do? Is there, you know, what do we say?
I'm going to try and finalize the information, you know, as quickly as I can, and we're still trying to set up the website. It'll probably be something like elections.pacifica.org or something like that. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but there's going to be a catch-all website for the election information with a subpage for each station, and each station's homepage will have presumably a link to the universal election site, at which point they can go to whichever station they're interested in. And that's where we'll have information for the candidates' packets and what does it mean to be in a local station board, an FAQ about serving on the local station board, et cetera. That's all being prepared, but it's not ready.
Okay, and that's good. Maybe I'm not being as specific. Is there anything that we can say for people who are interested right now? Is there a sentence or something that we can put on the website to say, you know, the specifics of what you should do is coming?
We could certainly try. I can, over the next couple of days, maybe I can get... one of the difficulties is Otis, who's the the webmaster for Pacifica, who's doing website, is off to Berkeley for the meeting, and it's been hard to get things, you know, done right now because everybody's busy. But I would try and get something on the website and announce the URL for that web address right away. Yeah. But you know, things happen when they can happen.
Right.
Chen, this is Nia. Time is up.
Okay. Thanks, Nia. Okay. Well, thank you again, Terry. So now we need to move on to the next item, which is a review of the 2009 LSB election policy passed by the PNB. So we have 40 minutes for that, and we're going to break it into we're going to break it into the part about during the nomination period and then during the campaign period. So I saw yesterday that Michael Novick put a motion on the listserv. So Michael, would you like to
Chair, this is a point of order.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Chair.
I just want to understand, I saw a discussion about amending this versus rescinding it and replacing it. Is that something that you can speak to help us understand what we're talking about here?
Oh, perhaps you weren't done on the line when we were discussing that earlier. There are different opinions about how that would be done, but ultimately the PNB is going to have to decide that. So I'm not sure it would serve us to have further discussion about the parliamentary detail of how this is done, but either way, the PNB could choose to do it in some form or fashion, you know, whether it's move to rescind, move to amend something previously amended. Either way, they can do it by a certain procedure that they have to follow. So and that could happen this weekend if they so chose.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and resend that to the 2009 policy doc, everybody. I'll send it out in a minute.
Thank you. Okay, that's helpful. All right, so Michael, are you there? Would you like to present your multi-part motion? In fact, why don't we break it up, as I said, into just start with the campaign period, and then we'll stop and take discussion. Not the campaign period, the nomination period.
Yeah. So I'll just say my experience in the past has been that the program is fine, some of these things are onerous that they resist them, and then it doesn't happen, and then it, you know, so I think if we can find something that people will actually do.
I can't understand a thing Michael's saying. Please speak distinctly and slower.
I said I think its experience has been that a lot of the staff and programmers find some of these requirements extremely onerous, resulting in them not necessarily carrying them out. So I think if we have a few changes that would make them more doable, that they would get done, and that would make the election process smoother and more likely to have a successful recruitment of candidates and a successful election. So that's the spirit in which I'm taking it. Here's the thing. Resolve that the PNB adopt the following changes to 2009 elections policy. During the nomination period, change requirement for a total of 12 daily carts, 6 60-second and 6 30-second, to a total of 6 daily carts, 3 60-second and 3 30-second, and where it's called in rotation throughout all day parts, unquote.
I
think it might, just to get the kind of total picture, it might be helpful if Michael presents all the ones that relate to the nomination period first, and then we'll go back and discuss them one by one, just so people see the total overview of where you're going. Michael?
Yeah. Change the requirement for a 15-minute tutorial per one-hour show. Produced by the show, repeated once during the nomination period, that is aired twice, to, quote, at least one pre-recorded 5-minute tutorial aired by each show of at least 1 hour duration. The sound file and the transcript of the tutorial shall be posted on all 5 station websites. The rationale being the current requirement places too great a burden on programmers and producers.
Okay, and then the last
one. And then, yeah, strike correct the paragraph requiring one national and one local board management report to the listener during the nomination period. The rationale to report to the listener are good, but this kind of muddies orders between the report relating to the elections and also violates the general even-handedness of the election requirements for on-air even-handedness by favoring current board incumbents and their take on the issues.
Okay, thanks. So those are the three proposals that would change the way the 30-day nomination period is covered for requirements. So, comments. The floor is open for comments on any of those three proposals, and we will vote on them separately, so there's no need for a motion to divide.
Ken, do the SAC.
Go ahead, Ken.
And then Lydia.
Okay.
The motivation for making these changes is because the programmers are uncomfortable. They're bothered. That's really an inadequate motivation. The purpose of the CARTS is to promote the solicitation of people participating in the election, not to make the programmers comfortable. I don't care if the programmers are comfortable. I want people to get nominated and run in the election who, other than the people who hang around, or part of political factions. I'd like to get some new people on the LSB. So that the programmers are discomforted, well, we can give them a Tic Tac or send them some tissues and give them a piece of paper and they can write a poem about it. It doesn't matter if they're uncomfortable. What matters is that we get candidates. If you're going to motivate it and say we want to cut it down for some practical reason that gives us benefit to the station or to the listeners, that's fine. But just to say, because of word of mouth, you heard anecdotal information that people complained that it was burdensome to the programmers because that's just a deteriorating thing. They don't want to do anything. Those programmers don't want to participate in the elections at all. And I've heard that anecdotally. So I think it's a very poor motivation. I don't know the real motivation behind it, but just to keep the press happy is a very low motivation for me.
Okay, Lydia, and then I want to call on myself.
Yes. No, I think that one of the issues is because we are having the elections later than usual, we're running into fund drive time, and so that's part of it. All of the stations are strapped. They're anxious to raise money. The listeners are fatigued both by fund drives and will become fatigued from some of the announcements that are too lengthy and too often. However, it's not like we're eliminating them. There's plenty of rotation time in the policy where I don't think that this motion hinders that outreach at all. But in fact, it makes it better radio listening, and it helps each of the stations for that reason. I'm going to vote in favor of these at no time, and none of my motivation has anything to do with the comfort level of the programmers and any anecdotal information that I've received or comments. None of them have been from the programmers. Not that close to any programmers here, so. But it's mostly from listeners are the complaints that I've heard. They're anxious to hear their regular programming. And so the off-putting additional airings of these, I think, are a problem. The other thing is, as Ken mentioned earlier, that now we have an accelerated use of the Internet, and I think we can make better use of tutorials on our website rather than to have 15-minute segments and blah, 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 at such, repeated so often. And anyway, so I will be seeing all of them.
Okay. So calling on myself, I agree with Lydia. I just want to draw out the implications of the current policy versus the change. So currently it's 12 CARTS a day. That means if they're distributed evenly, it's every 2 hours you have a CART saying you can become a candidate. Here's how. I just think, for all the reasons Lydia said, but just if you think about it from a programmatic point of view, from a listener interest point of view, given that less than 15% of our members actually vote, and of course the listeners are estimated to be maybe 9 or 10 times the members. I just think it, I'm afraid I'm repeating Lydia. I think a lot of us are very worried that the constant fundraising is driving listeners away. And so when you add something else that is not even easy for many listeners to understand as being kind of central to the survival of the station, even though whatever we may think personally about the importance of the elections, I think a lot of listeners will just be annoyed by 12 announcements a day of the same thing. Similarly, with the 15-minute tutorial, let's remember what the policy says. It says twice during the 30-day period, each person or each group that does the one-hour show must air the same tutorial, and furthermore, that they must create it themselves, which is really an unnecessary burden to put on them and opens the door to people adding their own interpretation and their own twist on what really needs to be a straightforward script that is very, that is vetted by the NES for accuracy, and that that I think should just be pre-recorded by either the NES or the LES, and then it's done, and the producer can download it and play it for 5 minutes, which I think, I think 15 minutes is a long time.
Chair, point of order?
Yes.
I'm having a hard time following what we're talking about. I'm reading through what Michael sent us earlier, and I'm seeing what appears to be more than 3 proposals. So I'm going to just, could I just read what I think we're talking about?
Sure.
So the first one I see is during the nomination period, change the requirement for a total of 12 carts daily to 6 carts daily. That looks like one.
Correct.
The second one is...
He also adds in rotation throughout all day parts.
Right, and right. I know. I mean, the details need to be dealt with, but
getting the highlights. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and then the second recommendation is change the requirement for a 15-minute tutorial per one-hour show, etc. Okay, and then there's more. I haven't worked through the rest of them. I'm trying to follow what the recommendation. It seems like the first one in terms of the rotation is separate from the 15-minute tutorial, isn't it?
Correct. Yes.
So since you said at the beginning we were going to vote on them, were you trying to just cover the whole breadth of them before we take any votes? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, well, the whole breadth of just the nomination ones. Then after we finish with that, there's a second set concerning the campaign period. But since they all relate to the same time frame and they raise similar issues, I thought it would be more expeditious to talk about the 3 of them together and then vote on them separately. Is there something still unclear, Jane, about that?
I haven't actually finished reading through what Michael sent us, because I hadn't really compared it with the original document. I'm having a hard time following it, but I'm getting there.
Okay, well, feel free to interrupt to ask a question if,
Bob?
Yes, who's that?
Lydia.
Lydia, yes.
Yeah, maybe we should take it one at a time now that we've gotten the overview.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so is there any further discussion about the motion to change the requirement for daily carts from 12 a day to 6 a day and to add the phrase in rotation throughout all day parts?
This is Ken. I'd like to make an amendment.
Sure, go ahead.
Change it, whatever the number is, to be preceded by the word at least, so that it's up to the LES and the GM if they want to have more.
Okay. So,
it is at least whatever number was put in.
Okay.
And this is Lydia, if you can add me to the stack.
Okay, so I heard Jane and then Lydia.
So that's my amendment, to add the word at least in front of the... the new number.
Got it, at least. Okay, Jane and Lydia.
I think it'd be helpful to just read that whole passage. So item 3 under the policy document is rather lengthy, but I think it would be helpful for us to hear the whole passage before we vote on this.